Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Hello and welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas, pastor here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. In this episode, it's a special episode. We are in Holy Week. Today, I believe we are airing this on Good Friday. However, you're listening to this podcast, and there's a question that I want to lead with that I don't think is always asked out loud, but a lot of people feel it. And here's the question. Why doesn't Easter move me the way it seems to move others? We hear people talk about Easter with deep emotion. They speak about the cross and the resurrection, new life, hope, joy. And maybe you've wondered, why don't I feel that way? Why doesn't it land? Why doesn't this resonate with me? Is it just that I'm so familiar with the story and with the holiday and with the events that it doesn't resonate the same way? Or maybe you've heard it too many times, or is it something that's deeper? Because if we're honest, Easter, it can feel distant, ancient, like something that happened a long time ago to someone else in another world. And yet, for millions of people, it is the most powerful reality in their lives. So what makes the difference? What makes Easter more than a story or a tradition or a holiday? And that's what we're going to explore today, because the power of Easter is not just in what happened to Jesus. The power of Easter is experienced in what happens to us because of Jesus. All right, to understand Easter, we have to start with Good Friday. That's our day today. The final night of Jesus' life, he gathers with his disciples in the upper room. They share a meal. We call it the Lord's Supper. Bread is broken, a cup of wine is passed, and Jesus begins to speak about his death. Not the possibility of death, but as a certainty. Jesus knows what's coming: betrayal by Judas, an arrest, and then suffering. And still, rather than running, Jesus stays. That night after the dinner, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. There, Jesus prays, and the weight of what lies ahead presses in. The gospel writers tell us his soul was so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he asks if there is another way in his prayer. And yet, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Then comes the betrayal. Judas arrives. He kisses Jesus so the soldiers know which one to arrest. They arrest Jesus. Jesus is taken. And what follows is a series of trials. They're unjust. They're rushed. They're predetermined. There's false accusations that are brought against Jesus. And these false accusers have these variety of stories that really can't even be corroborated because they are indeed falsehoods. Nonetheless, there is reason found during a bogus night trial. There are reasons found, they believe, to hold Jesus, to beat Jesus, and in the series of his beatings and mockery, a crown of thorns is pressed into his head. And then the cross is his future. Roman crucifixion, that's where the cross comes from, was designed to be brutal. It was a public, slow death. It was meant not only to punish the criminal, but it was meant to serve as a warning to anyone else who would challenge authority. And so the crucifixion was not only brutal, but it was very public. Crosses and those being crucified on the cross were oftentimes displayed not out far away from civilization, but they were displayed along the most popular travel routes so that everyone could see a testimony of what happens when you challenge authority, what happens when you break the law. Now, Jesus is nailed to the cross, his hands, his feet. He was lifted up for all to see, and for hours he hangs there. over the course of time, not even taking into consideration how brutally he was beat and agonized prior to the cross, but over that time, his, as would anyone else under crucifixion, their breathing becomes labor-intensive. Every movement brings pain. And yet, in the midst of his labored breathing and his painful agony, he speaks, "Father, forgive them. It is finished." And then he dies. Now, Jesus doesn't die as a victim of circumstance, but as a willing sacrifice. His body would eventually be taken down, wrapped, placed in a tomb, and then a stone was rolled across the entrance. And for a moment, it seems like the story is over. Saturday comes, and with it, silence. No movement, no miracles, no teaching. Just uncertainty, confusion, grief. For the disciples, everything has collapsed. The one they believed in, the one they followed, the one they thought would change everything, it's gone. And maybe that's where some people live when it comes to Easter. They're stuck between the cross and the resurrection. They're aware of the story, but not experiencing the power. Because if Jesus only died, then Easter is just a tragedy. But the story of Easter doesn't end just there. The story of Easter doesn't end just there. On the third day, everything changes. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Not metaphorically alive, not symbolically alive, historically, Jesus is alive. Physically, Jesus is alive, bodily raised from the dead. He shows himself to followers. He appears. He speaks with them. He eats with them. He shows them his wounds. Death has been defeated. Sin has been paid for. And the question now is not, did it happen? The question is, what does it mean? Because if the resurrection is real, then it changes everything. This is where Romans 6:4 brings it home. Paul writes, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." This verse connects our story to Jesus' story. It tells us what happened to Christ. And what happened to Christ is not just something we observe, it's something we participate in. Let me share this with you as we break down this verse. Number one, he's buried with him. Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him." That's strong language. It means that through faith in Jesus, our old life, which was defined by sin, is considered dead. Buried. The person you were apart from Christ, your guilt, rebellion, separation from God, it was put to death with him. That's what Good Friday accomplishes. It's Jesus died for sin, and he dealt with your sin, raised with him. Then Paul goes on and he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, this is where Easter comes in. Jesus didn't stay in the grave, and neither do we, spiritually speaking. Through faith, we are not just forgiven. We are made new. Very different. It's not just that we're forgiven. We are forgiven. But we're also made new. Resurrection, it's something that Jesus experienced, and it's something we are brought into because of Jesus. Paul goes on and he gives the purpose. We were buried, we were raised, that we too might walk in the newness of life. This is the goal. Forgiveness, yes. Escape from judgment, yes. Transformation, absolutely. A new way of living, a new identity, a new direction. This is what makes Easter powerful. Not just that Jesus rose, we celebrate that, but that his resurrection produces a new life in us. Now let's come back to this opening question. Why doesn't Easter always resonate? Why can it feel distant? Well, because it's possible to know the facts without experiencing the reality. See, you can know the story of the cross. Many do. You can believe in the resurrection as a historical event. Many do. and still miss the personal transformation. Because Easter is not just about what happened then, it's about what is happening now. Have you been buried with Christ? Have you been raised with Him? Are you walking in newness of life? That's where Easter becomes real. The gospel is not just information. People that have information are oftentimes the ones that are living between the cross and the resurrection. You know about the cross, but you have not yet experienced the resurrection. But the gospel, it's powerful. It's the power to forgive sins. It's the power to break chains. It's the power to change hearts. It's the power to give new life. And that transformation is not theoretical. It shows up in real ways. Those of us who have received the gospel, repenting of sins and placing our faith in Jesus, we have a new relationship with sin, and that is that it's dead. We have a new relationship and desire for God, and that is that it's personal. We have a new direction for life. We're not living for sin and self. We're living for the Savior and the kingdom, and we have a new identity. This is what Romans 6:4 is pointing to. Not just a past event, but a present reality. So here's the invitation. This weekend, as Easter is upon us, let's not just observe Easter, let's enter into it. Let's not just remember the cross, let's trust the one who died on it. And let's not just acknowledge the resurrection, let's experience the new life it brings. Because Jesus didn't just come to make bad people better. He came to bring dead people to life, and that life is available to you. Listen, this is Easter season. I mean, there are folks that are, man, they are pumped up, and they are excited about what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, and how God has transformed their lives. And there may be some of you listening today that think, again, and why is it that for some, Easter resonates so deeply, but for me, it feels so distant? And the question you've got to ask is, where are you? Are you living between the cross and the resurrection? Or have you, by faith in Christ, been buried, raised with Him, and walking in newness of life? If that's not what you're experiencing, I want to invite you. And would you go to the Lord and just simply say, God, I want to know You deeply and personally, and I want to experience the dynamic power that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no longer feel distant from this real story of salvation. If that's you, go to the Lord in prayer right now. Say, God, would You transform my heart? Would you deliver me from sin? Would You deliver me into salvation? And would You transform my life? He will hear you. And by faith, you will experience resurrection and new life. Thank you for listening to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. As we conclude this From Death to Life series, my prayer is that you don't just understand these truths, but you experience them. Until next time, keep opening the Word and allow your life to be shaped by Scripture.